How many plays have you done over the years?
Oh, many. Many, many, many.
Would you do another one? Should we do a play? And put it up somewhere and do it as like a fundraiser someday?
That'd be great.
No business like show business like show business.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. This is As Goes Wisconsin on Friday at the noon hour. We're having a lot of fun watching the snow come down outside.
It's blowy.
It is blowy. If you are outside driving, please be careful. And if you have a suggestion for what play Jane and I could eventually do together, 844-967-2789, or if you're listening to the podcast, shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
We could always go the classic route and do, like, you know, Waiting for Godot.
Is that only, that's more than a two-person play, though.
Is it more than two?
Isn't it?
I think it's only two.
Okay. I feel like I now have to, that's going to be a Google search, maybe on my drive, it's, not it, when I'm not driving, but
it's
we're
something
going to
else.
The Dells later.
It's something for us, something else for us to put on Greg Bach's list
yes.
of things to do, because he still promised me a blues version of All I Want, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. I have not forgotten.
I hope he's listening. I hope he knows that this is, he's on notice by next Christmas oh. that he better have I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Blues rendition.
Blues style.
All right. Well, later in the hour, we're going to have Shannon Ross here to talk about the new art exhibit that is featuring different formerly incarcerated and currently incarcerated people. And the exhibit's called Art Against the Odds, and it's in Milwaukee right now. And we'll probably end the hour with our weekly news quiz. But to start the hour, there's a different kind of quiz that's I'm interested to see how we're going to do, but before we get to that, so I read this from Up North News, which is similar to same kind of thing as Up North News with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Network.
Right.
This was from their newsletter, and it outlined that in 2022, nearly 1 million immigrant adults became U.S. citizens.
Congratulations.
And so it was almost a record-setting year. But in total, it was 967,400 immigrants are now officially Americans, and that's the third highest annual tally in U.S. history. And the citizens, majority of the citizens came from either Mexico, India, the Philippines, Cuba, and the Dominican Republic. And I feel like I wanted to, I also want to talk about the test, because I'm interested on a Friday to see how we would do on it, but I think people forget sometimes like how long it takes to become a citizen.
This is a really long process.
And not cheap.
No, it's not. You need lawyers.
You need lawyers. You need money. You need time. And it's different than becoming a permanent resident. It's different than getting like a 10-year green card. Like there are when the blanket statement of do it legally, it's a complicated web, but certain people ultimately decide to become citizens, although that's not the only route to be able to live and work here. But it's 3 to 5 years, and they also have to prove that they can read and write and speak in English. And they also have to pass a 10-question oral civics exam. Now, I thought it was, I'm going to be honest, I thought that it was a multiple choice test that they had to take. Because for a while, I feel like, because I've talked about this before, at least in Wisconsin, and certainly in other states, the idea of what the civics requirement is anymore, the threshold is very low.
Super low.
In Wisconsin, you have to be able to pass the civics test, or not the same test that the immigrants, when they're becoming citizens, have to take. But for some reason, I thought that one was like 100 questions that were multiple choice, not getting 6 out of 10 right that were oral questions. And so if we're mixing this up, if you are someone or know someone who has gotten their citizenship and I'm screwing this up, feel free to let us know. 844-967-2789. But I thought if this is, because this was from the Up North News article as far as could you get these right? And you'd like to think that we could, but
No guarantees.
I did not cheat. I did not look ahead. I will look ahead once we get through. Shall we do this?
Yes, let's embarrass ourselves.
Let's embarrass ourselves. All right, so we have to get 6 out of 10
Okay.
to pass, otherwise we're getting deported.
Okay.
Name one of the two longest rivers in the United States.
Mississippi.
Yeah, I would have said that too. I don't know what the other one.
Colorado?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Thank God they didn't say two, because I only knew one. Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II?
FDR.
Yeah, I would have gotten that one right. What is the rule of law?
What is the rule of law?
Is it just the Constitution?
That seems awfully broad.
It seems very broad. What's the rule of law? I'm going to go with the Constitution. I don't think that's right.
I'm going with rules that establish what the law is.
Okay. All right. Number 7, who was president during World War I? Woodrow Wilson?
That sounds right.
I think it's Woodrow Wilson.
That sounds right.
Who is the current Chief Justice of the United States?
John Roberts.
Yep. I would have gotten that one right. How many justices are in the Supreme Court?
9.
9. What year was the Constitution written? I know because of the musical 1776, but that's the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to say 10 years later, 1786.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It was like a decade later, I think. All right. There's some historian out there right now
screaming.
This is like the person who was so embarrassed for us when we couldn't name 10 trees.
Oh,
they're like,
yes.
That was painful. There's someone right now that's listening. Like Jim Santel's listening right now and be like, oh my gosh, ladies.
Be crazy.
The House of Representatives has how many members?
435.
Yep. How many amendments does the Constitution have?
27.
I know that one. Had it not been for a certain musical, if you had asked me this 6 years ago, I might not have been able to answer it.
I'm right there with you.
Name one writer of the Federalist Papers. Alexander Hamilton.
I was going to sing it, but
the other ones was James Madison.
Okay.
And then the other one is someone who died, right? Like in the middle of starting to write them, because Alexander, I know this because of the musical, which is embarrassing, but I don't care. Because he wrote most of them. And that was like, it was the whole concept of like, he just didn't know how to not work.
John Jay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have
Alexander
that.
Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay wrote the Federalist Papers.
But I think John Jay didn't write that many of them.
He wrote the introduction.
He wrote the foreword.
He had the notes. He had the liner notes. John, you done with the liner notes yet?
All right. I think we got more than 6. So the other longest river is the Missouri River.
Oh, I would have been wrong.
I didn't know that was one of the longest ones. FDR was correct. The rule of law is a set of principles or ideals for ensuring an orderly and just society. That seems like a very, I feel like you got that. You were closer than I was. But for an immigration test, that feels like...
That's tough.
There isn't a distinct
answer.
Right. I don't like that question. Woodrow Wilson, we got right. John Roberts, we got right. 1787.
Oh, so close.
That was a year off.
So close.
9 justices, 435 people in the House, 27 amendments, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, or John Jay.
Hey, we did all right.
We did pretty well. That's better. Because I would have really relied on the multiple choice. I'm pretty good at the multiple choice as far as like narrowing down your options. And then you have a 50-50 chance. You know, all that thing of like when you learned how to be a good test taker.
Sure.
But just having it in your brain, you're like, oh, that's harder. Especially when I was trying to first look at the questions this morning without coffee. Like, oh.
Making my brain hurt.
But yeah, you know, I think it's also... One thing to keep in mind as far as, you know, when we talk about immigration is in a 2015 study found that if all eligible immigrants became citizens, their aggregate income would increase by $5.7 billion, leading to an increase in home ownership of more than 45,000 people and a $2 billion increase in tax revenue.
Wow.
If just half of eligible immigrants naturalized, the nation's GDP would grow by $45 billion per year. So that's kind of interesting. I'll put that link up there. The economic impact of naturalization on immigrants and cities. So that was from 2015 from the Urban Institute. But I will link that in today's notes because I think that there are a lot of people, more than you expect, that would like to see the amount of people who can come work increase, but also want them to be able to do it legally.
Absolutely.
So it would behoove a lot of people if we could figure out how to get more people through the door and actually naturalize them into being citizens or at least permanent residents and not afraid of getting deported.
Streamline the process a little bit.
I know.
And again, we've talked to farmers, and there's all kinds of businesses that need more bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back, a different Milwaukee's favorite immigrant, Mr. Giannis, named a starter for the 2023 NBA All-Star Game, breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. When we come back, we're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Article 4 is about relation between the state and nation. 5 covers new amendments and their ratification. 6 is saying federal law will always be supreme. 7 is to make this rule, 9 states will have to agree. Checks and balances, internal branches going too strong. The court declares unconstitutional what it thinks is wrong. Keep the law ain't good, the president can veto. Congress can override, impeach a C2. Federalist papers, 85 to make you want this constitution. Publius a faker, it's really Hamilton, John Jay, and Madison. Still there is one thing I cannot feel in this missing. Oh yeah. Constitution, we'll pass if we promise to have a bill of rights. 10 amendments, I could talk about them all night. Want to know them quicker and we'll be alright. Constitution, Delaware's the first state to ratify. New Hampshire is ninth, it's now bona fide. And the new plan takes effect nationwide. A living document that's meant to adapt to the times. 27 amendments so far. One repeal cause it went too far. Prohibition, prohibition, baby. Representative democracy ensures the people while the real source of power. And this country remains ours. Constitution, we the people wanted a more perfect union. Founding fathers came up with this great solution. Plan a government that we are still using. Constitution. Article 4 is about relation between the state and nation. 5 covers new amendments and their ratification. 6 is saying federal law will always be supreme. 7 is to make this rule.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. You got Jane Matinair on the board, having fun today, Friday. It's finally starting to look more like winter, at least down here. Probably yeah. In other parts of the state, it's been looking like winter, but
we're getting some snow.
Yeah, that's pretty.
It's cold.
So, for the third time, Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be a captain for the NBA All-Stars, and this means he broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record.
Oh, wow.
So as far as I think how many other times Kareem went to the All-Star game. And so that's another, I think he already broke his record for, was it points scored? I think he broke Kareem's record for points scored. I can't remember. But the more interesting thing is I even saw this on Twitter a little bit because I feel like people who are very protective over Giannis feel like he doesn't get as much love and respect as he should amongst ESPN and commentators and pundits and stuff. And so some people were very upset that ESPN put out some graphic with LeBron. And to be fair, because this is coming down. So they've only been doing this team captain thing since 2018. So,
this is a really new.
So, I mean, the All-Star game has been around for a while, but as far as like picking captains for the East versus the West, it's only been happening since 2018, and only four players have been picked. So it's been either LeBron James, Giannis, Kevin Durant, or Steph Curry since 2018. And James is the only one who's done it all 6 years. And so I guess maybe that is a little bit more of an explanation of why ESPN would just feature LeBron as being
the guy,
named captain again.
Yeah.
But next to him, Giannis has done it three. And so it makes Team LeBron in the West versus Team Giannis in the East the most common matchup they've seen, or we've seen for the All-Star game. And I'm trying to see who else made it this year. But the last time these two captains were chosen was in 2020. And it was the year that the league debuted the use of some kind of format where the teams play to a final score in the fourth quarter instead of using a clock. So it's like the first team to get to a certain score.
Hmm.
Which seems interesting. Are there any sports where that's the case? Where it's not just as much as you can score in a certain time period, but it's whoever gets to a certain score soonest?
That seems like a little league thing to me.
That's so interesting. I've never even heard of that before. I obviously I'm not a savant when it comes to the NBA All-Star games.
Well, what has always confused me about all of these All-Star games, though, is how much do they really put themselves out? Because nobody wants to get hurt.
I think there's a lot of scoring in those games. Not a lot of defense.
I'll just let him take the lane, let him go up.
Yeah.
Let him take the shot.
It is a good point as far as how much effort do you put into something when, like, the real prize is making it to the playoffs and then ultimately winning the championship. And so if you're not, is it just for fun and show and, it's a fun All-Star weekend with the shooting contests and the dunk contests and parties versus real... You know, I guess it's bragging rights, ultimately.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters.
But it is a fun rivalry, I think, because I think it's a real rivalry from the little that I do know about it, as far as LeBron and Giannis don't like each other.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, LeBron's older. He's a fair amount of older. He is in a different crew, I would say, of...
Players?
Well, I think... The guys that he started in the league with are like some of his best friends. So it's like Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, who doesn't play anymore, but like kind of his camaraderie and like his crew is like his crew. But then I think, I don't know. I feel like there's not a lot of love between Giannis and LeBron. Cause like LeBron's just like a flashy person, right? I think their personalities
just
are
clash.
Very different as far as, showboatiness.
Style.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think just from the scene. I mean, but LeBron's also been way more famous for way longer.
Yes.
And it's always interesting to me about Giannis and his whole family, because so many of our athletes are U.S.-born athletes who end up being very successful in the NBA, very successful in the NFL, all their sports, but specifically, I think those two, a lot of them don't come from much, right?
Right.
A lot of them come from areas where it's like you, quote unquote, get out by doing sports,
yes,
becoming some kind of musician, or potentially figuring your way out through school. But like, there's not like a ton of options always, what it feels. And yet, like, there's a different level of Giannis and the poverty his family went through that it feels like, despite his world, you know, being one of probably the more recognizable athletes in the world, especially for basketball now, all the stories about how humble he still is and how simple and how frugal he still is.
He's frugal.
Oh, yeah. Have I not told you the story?
No.
Oh, my gosh. So this is my friends. I don't have to say it quickly. But my friends who live in Madison, when they were pregnant with their first kid, came to Milwaukee to go to one of the baby stores. Because I guess, I don't know, there was a better baby store than what they could find in Madison. And so we met up with them afterwards because they were in town.
Sure.
And they're like, and they're not huge sports fans. And so they're like, they were in the baby store. And my friend Sean saw a very, very tall black man. And he checked out before Sean and Faye. And so then once he left, he was off in the corner and hadn't left the store yet. But the person who was at the cash register said to them, was like, oh, no, that's Giannis. And he goes, oh, okay. And then Sean said, he's like, I swear to God. And this is right after he had signed his Supermax deal. Like he had just, literally, I think he signed it in like December or January of like 2020, turning into 2021. And this was in February 2021. And he goes, I swear to God, he stood there for 10 minutes checking the receipt.
That's so...
Just making sure everything looks right as all the baby stuff they just bought.
That's so Wisconsin. If he'd only had a coupon, that would have just sealed the deal. He is truly one of us.
Truly, truly. He ended up in the right spot. All right, when we come back, Shannon Ross will be here to talk about Art Against the Odds. Stay around. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is the bottom of the hour. Thank you for joining us for the noon lunch hour. And our guest for this segment is Shannon Ross, who is the executive director of The Community, an organization whose mission is to foster the full potential of people with criminal records through pre-entry and showcasing their success, humanity, and agency through correcting the narrative. And welcome back to the show. We've had you on, I think it was October that we had you back on the first time.
Yeah, this time I knew to not try and get somewhere that it wasn't. So I read the email better this time.
That is totally fine. You know, downtown Waukesha is a bit of a trek. We know that well. We take care. We drive here every day. But thanks so much for joining us again. I'm so excited to talk. Well, first, let's start with, for people who didn't listen to the first time you were on, just tell us what all the different programs you have going on with the community.
Yeah, sure. So what we focus on is showcasing the successes, humanity, and agency of people that have criminal records. And then a lot of the work that we do also is in prison that we don't talk about as much because it's not as, I guess, shiny and sexy as the narrative work that we do. But we do a lot to help individuals come out as prepared as possible. There's a lot of issues right now inside with opportunities to come out in the best position possible to succeed. And so we just try to fill in those gaps in various ways. And there's a lot there, you know, that there's no way I can fill that in a couple minutes, yeah. But it's just in that realm. Yeah. So we do the opportunity and the preparation. We try to match those two with our work.
And so then I think I was just walking down in the third ward when I saw the sign for Art Against the Odds. And then I wasn't that shocked to find out that the community was involved. And so basically what I understand this to be, I haven't gotten to see it yet, but it is basically a very professionally done art exhibit that is curated of all people who are either currently incarcerated or formerly incarcerated. And it's like really outstanding artwork. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And if I can kind of talk about how that got to that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or something. Okay. I didn't mean to cut you off, but there was more.
No. That's what I was basically trying to set you up. Like, how did you work with the art gallery and how did this happen?
So this is something that I can take no credit for. Deb Bremer, who runs the Portrait Society Gallery, and we were talking, we had a meeting like 2 days ago about how do we even meet, because we were planning for this panel on the 2nd. And I said, I'm not really sure, but I know that when I was inside, because I was still in prison when me and her met, and we were doing the newsletter, which is the main thing that the community started as. And I think I reached out, or she reached out to us, and was like, how do we promote trying to find artists in prison? I was like, yeah, we'll put something in the newsletter about it. And back and forth, she seemed to find that I had a lot of information that was of value to that she needed in building this whole project out. And then when I got out, I met her and I went to the gallery. And it's been like 3 years that before this preparation to get to this point. And I never had an idea of what it would be. And I've told her that, you know, she'll thank me a lot. And I'll say, Deb, listen, there's a lot of things that I have in my mind, a vision of, that I'm trying to build out. And this is not one of them. This is all you. Like, you know, I helped out as much as I could, but I didn't imagine it would be like this. And you found a lot of artwork and stuff that I wasn't even aware of. Like you, I'm always big on promoting people that are, you know, have a criminal record or inside to show their humanity and their skill set and their potential. But she just did a remarkable job of bringing that out in a very professional setting with a gallery, you know, feel. So yeah, kudos to Deb. Definitely.
Absolutely. And so what, from, how did she get involved with this? Because from what I read, did someone send her art, and that's how it even got on her radar of trying to take this on?
Yeah, so there's a guy named M. Winston who does these miniatures, and it's pretty remarkable what he does, because he's taking a large painting or a large landscape, or what most people would do, you know, because you want to blow things up. You know, in anything, you want your work to be seen. And so I think in art, that would be having a very sizable, you know, piece of work that would be the manifestation of being seen. And so he goes the opposite route. He has these really small miniature paintings, and he's painting landscapes within, you know, a 2x2 inch piece of paper oftentimes. And it became really popular. She'd have them framed. You know, she'd have to even fluff down the framing because there's no frame that's even that size. So she'd have them framed. It'd be like a frame in a frame almost. But they became pretty popular. She'd take them around the country, and, you know, she's well-connected in the art world. And so, yeah, that is what I think sparked her interest in this issue. But she also has a heart for it in the back, right? There's no way that you just get this and suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, now I'm interested. Like, there was something that tapped into with her general idea of social justice and just, you know, how you approach the world and how we come together differently. And so, yeah, that was the origin story for Deb to get to this point.
And so with the event itself started, opened on January 19th, and then you guys had were you at the opening reception that was held, I think, on the 19th?
Yeah, it was pretty chaotic.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I was there. I was shocked by how many people were there. Yep.
So tell me more about it. Like, what was it was really good turnout. What were people's reception like?
I got there, no surprise, like a little late, but this is kind of my MO. But so yeah, but while we were there for like 2 hours, I was there with my son and my partner, and so we just had to navigate, you know, with a child through this. You couldn't even get through the gallery with a stroller. Like, it was constantly having to stop and move around. So I don't think anybody who went there that day felt like they got a good feel of the show, because there was so much going on that they couldn't really read things. They couldn't take things in. So it was good and bad, right? It was good in the sense that a lot of interest, a lot of people, you know, showing Deb, that people really showing out for it. But bad in the sense that, you know, people are going to have to come back if you came, like you really didn't get everything you wanted. And she had to cancel the kind of like a reception thank you, acknowledging people that were involved. Camille Mays was there to do her singing bowls. She's known in the, I don't know, Camille's interesting. She's got a lot of touch points with the system. And so she's just really, you know, a person that does a lot of healing work in this space and in the community of Milwaukee. And so, yeah, she had to cancel that because they didn't have room for it. My ad was like, no, let's just nix that part of the show. So, yeah, but it was good to see.
Was it a wide range of people? Was it like like a mesh between people who are formerly incarcerated and like maybe some of the artists, and then also just like art fans? Or what was the vibe?
Yeah, for me, I think it was a lot of folks that are in the art world or connected to Deb would be my guess. That came. There were a lot of MIAD students who stood out pretty clearly. I think art students are not hard to find in any crowd. And so, and there were formerly incarcerated folks, or and their family members. A lot of the artist family who are currently incarcerated, they came. They were taking like pictures as a group in front of their artwork. So it was cool to see that. CBS News, I think, was there. TMZ. It's like every news station has done something on this so far. I went there the other morning. Deb calls. She's like, yeah, I need one more person. Can you make it? And it was like, be here at 7:20. I'm like, that doesn't even exist in my life, that hour of the day. But yeah, I'll get there. So yeah, it's been everywhere. Let me not say everywhere. I don't like to exaggerate, but it's been a lot of places.
Shannon, I'm curious, what do the artists say that they get out of this? What is it about this medium that allows them to communicate?
So that kind of ties into the bigger theme of it as well. The artists have a couple of things they say. I mean, people love when you're in a place where you're not seen and you feel like you feel like you're being seen only in the complete negative and for the one bad day of your life, for the worst thing you've done in your life. And so it gives them a sense of, you know, being seen again. And so that just always taps into a human desire and I don't want to say a need, but it really can be a springboard to do more with your life. And so that goes into what the theme that we try to push with why we're doing this, or why does it matter to show art? Are you promoting people that committed crimes and in some cases very, you know, violent crimes and hurt people? And so the point from that, what ties into the benefit of having artwork, is that you can't completely disregard and put away anyone in society and think that that problem is going to stay in that closet. But these are people who are oftentimes 95% of people in prison are coming home. And a lot of them, even if they're not coming home, they're impacting people who are coming home from that system. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole environment. It's a whole atmosphere that you have to have a different feel and a different level of growth and flourishing that happens if you really want successful people to be coming back and not more instable, not more unstable and not people who are just going to be a continuous issue because they have never gotten any kind of the treatment they need. And so art is a very healing mechanism, both for the person that does it and for the person that's, you know, engaged in, I guess, understanding it and the layers that are in any piece of artwork. And so that's kind of the thing that the artists get. And that's what we're hoping that society can start to see. And the people that come is that, see these people, they're not really away. You think they're away, but they really are in your life in different ways. And, you know, this is just one manifestation of the beauty and the potential that is there.
We're talking to Shannon Ross, who's the executive director of The Community and was involved with a new art exhibit called Art Against the Odds, which is a statewide prison art exhibition. And it's at the Portrait Society Gallery of Contemporary Art in Milwaukee. And so there's over 60 artists whose art is there. And is everyone whose art is displayed in Wisconsin or from Wisconsin?
Yeah, she wanted it to have a very Wisconsin feel. We talked about that in the beginning. And so they're by and large all currently incarcerated people in Wisconsin. There are some that got out in the midst of the show getting, you know, developed, but yeah.
And so when I was reading the Journal Sentinel's write-up about this, how many of the, as far as you're aware of, and if you don't know, that's fine too, but of the Wisconsin prisons have a visual arts program, and how many people are doing this just with whatever materials they can find in their situation, depending on if they're in solitary or if they're in Gen Pop or, you know, whatever, as far as like having the resources and the ability to make art versus just using what you got?
Yeah. I definitely don't know the exact numbers there. And even if I did know when I was incarcerated, things changed.
Yeah.
And COVID has been, as it has been everywhere, you know, a sea shift in the operations and the opportunities and resources available in prison. And so, but what I can say for sure is that it's very limited. Even if you do have a program, it's more of a, hey, come here, buy stuff, send something out, maybe sit in this room and use leftover, you know, supplies that we have. But teaching people how to paint, all that, that's like Bob Ross. Like, that's where people are getting so much of this from. When I was in, that was a big thing. People would watch Bob Ross and they'd learn how to become a painter and
so
how
great
to just be a calm, chill hippie, because that's kind of what he was as well. So, I mean, it basically, this is self-taught all around the board for the majority, mass majority of folks that I've met and that I know are in there. And the best pieces in the show are ones that you'll see that aren't even drawings, really. They're things that people took from their environment and just made something. There is a entire, like a Ferris wheel almost, that this one guy made with rolled up pieces of paper. And he just, I can't even explain how he made it, but you have to see it. It's a mechanical and an artistic feat that he pulled this off, because there's a functioning huge Ferris wheel, like 3 feet tall. You pull this lever, it moves, and it's all just materials he found in prison.
Oh, that's wild.
That's really impressive. That really is. Just to go back to Bob Ross for a second, Shannon, was Happy Trees, was that his catchphrase? Happy Trees or Happy Birds? Add some Happy Birds up here.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of Bob Ross. I mean, he's entrancing, right? Like, when you watch him, it's hard to not watch at least a little bit of him. But, and plus, you know, we both have the Ross moniker, you know, last name. So but yeah, I remember the thing he'd always say that people would make comments on is say, and then I think we're going to put a little tree here, and then we're going to, you know, and put a bird here. And so, yeah.
There was only Happy Mistakes,
sounds like,
wasn't it?
Said.
Yeah, Happy Mistakes,
happy
I think.
Happy Mistakes,
yeah.
That you can turn into a bird,
okay,
you can turn it into a tree. All right,
that
sounds
familiar, yeah.
So the Art Against the Odds Wisconsin Prison Art Exhibit is open, and it goes until March 11th at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, and it's free, so definitely check it out. What else is coming up for the community right now that you want people to know about that they could either partake in or listen to?
Yeah, we have a pretty heavy schedule coming up, which is new for us, because we have like staff now, so it's I'm in a weird spot that I'm enjoying because I don't have to do everything for the first time. Yeah, I have three people now on the team that I technically am the boss for, and they like to make jokes about. And so we have a couple things coming up, but the first three, I think, or let me say two, are actually still in conjunction with the Art Against the Odds show. So there's a screening of Master of Light at the Oriental Theater on January 31st. That's free. That can be signed up for on the Oriental Theater website or our website. And that's the movie's about a man who did 8 years in prison, and he came out, and now he's a classically trained painter. He has like a fellowship over in Europe, so he's like legit with the classically trained painting. But then he has a whole life of trauma back in Kansas City with his family and his mother, who was a big part of him going to prison. So they're just talking about, like, even as he's getting out of this world so far, he's still deeply pulled into this. So it's interesting. So we're going to talk about those themes then on February 2nd at a panel at MIAD with the former federal prosecutor and current professor Bill Lipscomb and Marquette, Cecilia Kingelli.
I got to cut you off, but send me all the information. I'll link it. Okay. Yeah, we got a good commercial, but send me all the information. Gotcha. Shannon Ross is the executive director of the community. Check it out. Check out the art exhibit. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back. From my friend. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair on the board. No matter where you're listening, across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, which you can download at wherever you get in your app store, whether it's Google or Apple. Thank you for tuning in. Reminder that if you miss any part of today's show and you want to go back and listen, you can always do that at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And when you're there, when you're finding the podcast on Apple or Stitcher or Spotify, just go ahead and hit that subscribe button.
Yeah.
And just get it daily.
Doesn't cost you anything.
I don't think we've had any complaints because we switched it up this week. And instead of doing one long podcast that was without commercials, ended up being like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
That's a chunk.
Now we're doing each hour. And I've yet to have anyone email us and be like, I hate it this way.
Well, it's just easier to pick and choose then. And, you know, you can... People can do
that's all the other
50
shows
minutes,
do it,
45, so, 45, yeah. 50 minutes.
Well, 40, yeah, I think each one, as the hour, if we separate it as three per day, it's then like 44 minutes.
That's not bad.
So you can pick and choose and which topics actually sound interesting to you, or you can listen to all three. But then whatever you do, please rate and review the show while you're there. All right, so since it's Friday, we've started to make a little bit of a tradition of doing the Brew's weekly news quiz. This comes from Morning Brew, which is one of my favorite newsletters to kind of get a roundup of stuff that is happening. They find some big stories and also some weirder stories that are fun and ripe for us to have fun with. But Jane, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So President Biden selected Jeff Zients to succeed Ron Klain in which administration role?
Chief of Staff.
Okay. You're very confident on that. I didn't even read the other options. That would be B, Chief of Staff. Okay. All right. Which social media platform announced plans this week to reinstate former Trump's banned account?
Meta or Facebook.
Yes. This is not so hard so far. We're going to fill time once we get through this quiz.
Okay, I'll stumble more. I'll take my time.
Which company's president testified in front of Congress this week over a recent controversy?
Ooh, that's pretty broad.
M&M's, Southwest Airlines, Live Nation, and Ticketmaster, Google.
Oh, well, that made it much easier. It was Ticketmaster.
Yeah. Although there is the M&M thing.
Which is so priceless.
Maybe we'll go back to that, but we will.
It's one of my favorite stories, possibly of all time.
Really? That's saying something.
Just some of the sound clips from some of the people on the other side of the aisle having complete meltdowns over this, even though if you eat them correctly, they melt in your mouth and not in your hands.
And the truth is, unlike Skittles, which we all know are my favorite candy, the different flavors actually taste different. Slightly. But they are, like, there's different, especially in, I'm much more of a fan of the purple bag of Skittles.
Okay.
And the flavors in that. But certainly in the original red bag of Skittles, the yellow ones taste more like lemon. the green ones taste like lime, and you know that that you can tell a difference versus no matter what color M&Ms are, they all taste the same.
Exactly.
So yeah. That's what we're talking about. All right, number four. What structure was named the U.S.'s ugliest building by Buildworld?
Wow.
A, Boston City Hall. B, Watergate Complex. C, J. Edgar Hoover Building. D, Denver International Airport.
Well, I haven't been through the Denver airport in a long time. So,
it's the worst airport in the country.
I've heard terrible things about
it. The lines at the Denver airport, it's also supposedly cursed. There's some statue there that I forgot what the whole story is, but there's some statue. First of all, it's like way more land than it needs. So people are convinced that it's like some kind of government like testing property.
Oh, wow.
So there's that side of it. Then there's also this like statue that killed, like, either like the artist was killed in making it or died recently after it was done. So there's like this like conspiracy theory or urban legend that the Denver airport is like cursed. And like it's terrible. It's also really far from Denver. The lines are always awful. I hate that airport.
Get it out, girl.
Well, it's fine. Once you're inside the terminal, it's fine. Getting into the terminal, it's awful.
It's a mess. Okay. Yes. What were my choices again?
Boston City Hall.
This is the ugliest building in the United States.
Yes, according to Buildworld.
Okay.
Boston City Hall, Watergate Complex, J. Edgar Hoover Building, Denver National Airport, International Airport.
I'm going with Watergate because anything that says complex does not sound aesthetically pleasing.
Okay. All right. Answer that. Last one. Avatar 2, The Way of Water, became the sixth movie to top $2 billion at the box office. Which of these films has not also hit that threshold? Spider-Man, No Way Home? Avengers, Endgame? Star Wars, The Force Awakens? Titanic?
Has not?
Has not. I think it's Star Wars.
Sure. I have no idea, quite honestly.
Okay. We got 4 out of 5. Which one didn't we get right? All right, so we got the first one right. Jeff Zients is the new chief of staff.
Yep.
Facebook did announce plans to reinstate Trump's account. You know, they want that political ad money, especially because they've lost a fair amount of money. They're not doing as well as they've been doing.
Oh, poor Mark Zuckerberg. I feel so badly.
The president of Live Nation testified in front of Congress.
Yeah, don't take off those Swifties, man.
The J. Edgar Hoover Building was named the ugliest. And I saw pictures of it. It is ugly.
Is it?
It is very concrete-y and ugly.
It's kind of fitting for the guy it's named after.
You know, it's interesting because supposedly where Journal Sentinel is now in downtown Milwaukee, because they're not in their original building anymore, that's now like condos and apartments.
Right.
Where it is now, it's in an office building, like office towers, and the who was there before them was the FBI.
Oh, really?
And I was talking to the building manager because we had an event there for one of the things I was doing for Journal Sentinel, and they were saying that prior to Journal Sentinel moving in and kind of like renovating the space, and now it's really nice. There's lots of windows. But she was like, oh my God, it was so ugly. Like we would have to, first of all, like we stopped even like showing the space because people would have to get so many security clearances to go see. Cause once the FBI was going to move to their own building and leave that space.
Sure.
But she was like, it was hideous. It was so ugly. And so I could only imagine that like the inside probably matches the outside of the J. Edgar building.
Probably just pretty industrial and severe.
And then we were wrong. Spider-Man No Way Home has not reached $2 billion.
So hang in there, kids. You got something to shoot for.
I should have underestimated the Star Wars fans. They should have known they would have shown up.
They're just as dedicated as Swifties.
Yeah. You know, don't get... People and their obsessions, man. Don't get in the way. All right. Well, that will about do it for the second hour, the noon hour of our Friday show. When we come back, Matt Miller is here.
I'm so excited.
I know, on Milwaukee. He is the culture editor over there. We are going to talk about the Oscar nominations. We're going to talk about the Razzie nominations. In general, we're going to have some fun with him. And then at 1:30, Mayor Dan Devine from West Allis is going to join us to tell us about all of the wonderful things about West Allis, including the people, including the housing. And I'm going to help him stay on the high horse that he's already taken in this situation. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.